While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When ends life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above all ransom soul.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And if you've got a Bible with you, let's open it up to the book of Revelation. And chapter 10, Revelation chapter 10, we have the Kingdom Age slides going by up here. Keep you from nodding off me. Or not. Praise the Lord. I like this song. I think it's a ballad by Larry Norman.
Some say he was an outlaw, roamed across the land with a band of unsure ruffians, few old fishermen. No man knew just where he came from or exactly what he'd done, but they knew it must have been something bad kept him on the a poet, that he'd stand upon a hill, that his voice could calm an angry crowd, make a way stand still, that he spoke in many parables few could understand, but the people sat for hours just to listen to this man. Some say a sorcerer, a man of mystery. He could walk upon the waters. He could make a blind man see. That he conjured wine at weddings, and he did tricks with fish and bread. And he talked of being born again. He raised people from the dead. Who spoke of being free? He was followed by the masses on the shores of Galilee. He spoke out against corruption, and he bowed to no decree. And they feared his strength and power, so they nailed him to a tree. And though they feared his strength and power, so they nailed him to a tree. Some say he was a son of God, a man above all men, that he came to be a servant, to set us free from sin. And that's who I believe he is, 'cause the Bible says it's true. And I think we should be ready, 'cause he's coming for me and you. You know, I think we should be ready, 'cause he's coming for me and you.
Praise the Lord. The second coming of Christ has been our theme for October for the past 23 years, and I'm not tired of it yet, so I've enjoyed again
getting around for these messages. I do have some missionary letters that I was want to read here, so let me go ahead and do that on my time, and we'll still fit all this in. Praise the Lord. It's good to hear from the Malucci family, and I'd almost read this whole letter, but that'd take a lot of our time. Well, we just finished our most intense month of getting the gospel into the homes of Bulgarians since we moved here 18 years ago. Here are a few highlights. We had several people help us, both from Bulgaria and the United States. Pastor Brown, Brother Ronnie B., came from Fellowship Baptist in Elkton, Maryland, and my dad flew in for the last week from Grace Baptist Church in Beaver Dams, New York. Additionally, we had six people from Bulgaria come to help us on and off for the month. Two vehicles were used, a 2003 Opel, 2001 Ford E350. Thank you all for those who prayed for the month of June. We have been involved in this door-to-door ministry for the last 11 years and have been stopped by the police an innumerable amount of times, been taken to the police station seven or eight times, been harassed and chased out of town by mayors too many times to count. However, in a couple hundred hours of work, we are only harassed a couple times, and the police did not stop us once this time. Paragraph 4. We had several chances to witness. Our best chance was to a father, mother, and their college-age son who had been in the States one summer. They invited us in, and we gave them a clear presentation of the gospel. Pray for Danko, Tanya, and Ilya to get saved. Villages we were in are places that do not have churches or gospel witnesses of any kind. Many of the people are old and are just living out their last years of their lives. Bulgaria is one of the oldest countries, median age, in the world. We are basically trying to get the gospel into the hands of people before they pass on. We hit almost 39,000 houses, 223 villages, 14 small cities on the western side of Bulgaria. Here is the updated work we have accomplished since 2010 when we started this ministry. And then he's got a whole list of those. Let me go back to this first paragraph here. I wanted to read this. Additionally, this is the helpers that helped him, including Brother Malucci right here from Grace. Additionally, we had six people from Bulgaria come to help us on and off for the month. I am also pleased with our six boys, Noah, Vito, Dom, Rafa, Sonny, and Mickey. They manned up and put in over 200 hours of work. They were there every day, all day, from the time we met and read the Bible and sang and prayed at 8 a.m. until we finished the last village of the day, many times at 8 p.m. No complaints, no belly aching, no teenage pouting. On one occasion, one of the boys did not feel good. I told him he could stay back at the hotel with mom if he preferred. Betting on feeling better with the progress of the day, he came with us. That is what teenage boys should be doing. Working, sweating, accomplishing. Katie did a great job raising our boys. Praise the Lord. So it's good to hear from Brother Malucci. I also wanted to read this one from the Breyer family. I don't know if you remember the Breyers. They were here, must be 10 years ago. In our last letter, I mentioned that Alberta, Canada was going to lift all health restrictions for good and put things back to pseudo-normal. That did happen. And for about 3 months, things were going along smoothly up until the federal election. Immediately following the election, masks were made a requirement once again, and now they are pushing a province-wide vaccine passport system. Although my blood boils when I think about what is going on, the Holy Spirit is quick to remind me that these restrictions of movement are mere distractions of what is going on in the shadows, and the rights of every Canadian claims as their own are merely blessings for the born-again Christians. While governments may take away our freedom of movement, our firearms, and even our ability to buy and sell without meeting their medical standards, they can never take away the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The struggle is real. The struggle is spiritual. So pray with them in Canada, and we're not far behind them. And let me go ahead and say that what we're seeing as mandates, none of these mandates are in law, by the way. They're all mandated by leftist leaders who have no law behind them to do that. And so we're seeing the same thing here, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. From Point Hope, Alaska, this is the Suttons. Although we are healthy, COVID-19 has now finally hit the village. We are able to keep the virus out of the village for over a year, since everyone that flies in by bush pilot plane has to have a negative COVID test to be allowed in. This is our October 8th letter. But just in the past month, almost a quarter of the village has tested positive for the virus. This has caused an order from the village council to shut everything down and to go into hunker down mode. So for the month, we have only been able to have church services online. Please pray for the health of everyone in the village, and most importantly, for our in-person church services to be able to resume quickly without any issues from the village leaders. We are planning on having our first in-person service this Sunday morning, October 10th. Lord willing, please pray for us to have wisdom in all that, in all of this, and to have no issues with the powers that be. So again, keep praying. Boy, I'd almost read a note here from Amazing Grace Ministries. And again, they're seeing major results. Let me just read you this first paragraph. It's been said that the COVID virus has created for evil intent, or was created for evil intent. That doesn't stop God. We are seeing record numbers of professions of salvation at the fairs we get into. Some have been nothing less than spectacular. I know of two fairs that have had four times the professions than the former record of salvations. Again, I didn't say double, which would be fantastic. I didn't say triple, which would be a miracle and unheard of. But quadruple number of souls saved, that is a God done it total. And so pray for the fair ministries, also the Underwoods here. And these are primarily Minlucci's we support. The other missionaries here we support prayerfully, I trust, but don't support them financially. Same thing with the Underwood family, missionaries to Argentina. We have had tremendous time over the last several weeks here in Peru while continuing to work our way through language school. It has truly been an encouragement to our family to be able to take these steps toward our goal of planting churches in Argentina, of which would not be possible without learning the Spanish language. And so he's preached a couple times in Spanish, and appreciate hearing from the Underwoods there as well. Keep praying for our missionaries again, and praise the Lord that we can be part of a mission outreach that goes all over the world, and being in prayer for those. Let's go ahead and look at Revelation, and I think we're in Revelation chapter 10 this morning, and I got 20 minutes left. We can use it to look at this tremendous chapter. Revelation chapter 10, we are in the hunt for the last October Bible prophecy conference, and we're looking again at scriptures that point to the second coming of Christ. I'm reading Ironside. I encourage you to do the same thing. His commentary on Revelation, it is available on our theology website for download in an ebook and or PDF file, and appreciate again. Boy, some of the content in there just sets my soul on fire as I read through there. And one of them here is right out of Revelation chapter 10. I've not preached any of this before and thought it good that we look at it this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 10. If you're able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And I want to read this entire chapter and then just look at a couple important things in there. you'll be dismayed to know that I printed all my outline out and left it set on my printer at the house. And so that means I'm not going to follow a outline, which means you're usually going to be here for 30 minutes longer than we would otherwise. Bless your heart. Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And in the days of the voice, But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you for this portion. Father, may we again take heed to your warnings, take heed to your word. May we again know the terror that you have lined up for this world as it enters into judgment. And may we, in this age of grace, Father, be ministers of reconciliation to all we see and talk to. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated as we look at this portion of Scripture. Notice again that introduction there for the angel. And notice that it is not just any angel. The word angel in the Bible, I just finished my whole volume on angelology and enjoyed that immensely, but had to cram in order to get everything in that I wanted there for this year. But anyway, you'll notice here that this angel is not just any angel. This again is the angel evidently that sat on the throne that was like a rainbow, covered by a rainbow. And now he's off of his throne and he's come down and he's standing on the earth. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember where we are in the Revelation here. Again, there was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth that was found worthy to open the book. We've covered the fact that the book was the title deed of the world. And so the seven seals have all been peeled, and there's always a break. He breaks the sixth seal was peeled, and then there's a pause and some other explanations before the seventh seal is opened. They open the seventh seal, and then they out of the seventh seal come seven trumpets. And again, we've gone through six of the trumpets, and now we're in this pause period where God gives some auxiliary explanations about what's going on. so that we could keep track of the events as they unfold here. And notice again that the seventh seal, or the seventh trumpet, does not sound, if I got this right, till the end of chapter, the next chapter, someplace in there. And so, notice again, we're in a period here between the opening of this seventh trumpet seal. And so, we have this account of the book. And notice first in these verses that the seven thunders had uttered their voices. And I was about to write, verse 4 says, but I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The book of Daniel also covers an explanation that he had seen a vision, and God said, no, don't write that down yet. Again, hold that, because you and I don't know everything that's going to unfold here. When you bump into someone who does know everything that's going to unfold, just back away slowly again. Because there are things in this book that we do not comprehend, that we will not. And there are things in this book that we are not told. And so, there's a reason for that. If God had wanted us to know exactly who the two witnesses were in the next chapter, I've run into preachers who know for sure who they are, and they'll preach at his orthodox teaching. But again, understand that, hey, we don't know some things in the Bible, and we speculate about them. And again, for those two witnesses that shows up in the next chapter, they think that's Moses and Elijah, because they showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so a lot of people say, yeah, that's who it is. Again, but we don't know. The Bible don't say. And when the Bible don't say something, it would behoove you and I to just hush up about it a little bit and not speculate so much. Here, notice again, that Moses and Elijah, by the way, on the Mount of Transfiguration, were two witnesses, and that's what two witnesses are in this next chapter, that's the law and the prophets. That's rich. Let me say it again. Moses and Elijah is symbolic, it's a portrayal of the law and the prophets. And again, that's a description that the Lord Jesus Christ gave for the Scriptures. And he said every jot and every tittle is going to be fulfilled. So symbolically they mean some, but this is more than a symbolic book again. And so when we look at these things, understand there's a bunch of speculation going on. Let me just read some of the thing here from Ironside. I love this author. And he said, oh, he said that too. That was good. Here's what he said on page 103 on this very chapter. Have you ever noticed how inquisitive people often are regarding those things that the wisdom of God has purposely kept from them? In the Old Testament dispensation, the law has hidden in the ark, covered with the mercy seat. Yet the men of Beth Shemesh foolishly looked into the ark and were smitten in judgment. So some things are hidden from the people of God in all dispensations, and he would have us to leave them with himself. Deuteronomy 29:29. Mark that in the margin of your Bible there, and beside verse 4, by the way. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed are for us and our children, and it goes on to say that we may keep all the words of this law. It is only too natural for man to pass over the precious revealed truth that would be for his sanctification and blessing, and to occupy himself with hidden things that are not given for him to know, to now know, and that if it had been for his blessing to know these things, God would have revealed them. I'm often asked, what do you suppose was written in the flying scroll in Zechariah's vision from Zechariah 5:1-2? I only know what the word has said. What were the unspeakable things that Paul heard when he was caught up into heaven in 2 Corinthians 12:4? If Paul could not utter them, how could we? And so many people have puzzled over the things that the seven thunders uttered, but faith rests in the fact that John has commanded not, was commanded not to write them. And so again, there are things in the Bible that you and I don't know. Just deal with it. And when you find someone, again, that's majoring on that, when you find someone that says the Bible says the world is flat because of a vision or a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, just back away slowly. When you find someone that says angels bred with men, and that's why God destroyed the earth in a flood, just back away slowly. The Bible does not say that. Again, and we speculate some of these things. There was a predominant teacher who said that there's Martians in this world, and they have green, they're black with green blood, and they are the influencers of this world. This is a prominent, again, this is a prominent Peter Ruckman doctrine, again, teaching that aliens are a result in this world. When someone says, again, that that mankind Adam had grape juice pulsing through his veins, not blood. We had someone stood right in the pulpit here and taught that. Lord, help us. Again, to understand that some of these guys go off and they find this little piece of knowledge and they come up with this attitude, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, I know something you don't know. And again, you be careful of that because you can get the same way. We think it's a sign of scholarship or showing off how much we know about the Word of God until we make things up. I had a young preacher. I'd almost hesitate to bring him up because suppose you all figure out, but I don't know how far this will go. But he came to me and he was all excited. We let him preach again. Once a month again, we'd let him preach. And boy, he came, he had this message outline. And he couldn't wait to preach it. And it's how Jesus came to Simon and bumped him out of the way and took the cross off of his shoulder because Jesus wanted to make sure that that cross was delivered to Golgotha so that he would be crucified. And I said, wow. And he outlined the whole message. And I said, wow, that is a powerful message. The only trouble with that is it doesn't line up with anything that the Bible says. And so let me just go ahead and say here where there are some unspeakable things. There are also some that we know. There are some things that we know or preachers know that oughtn't to be preached from a pulpit at all ever because the Bible doesn't say that. And so we are to be careful of these things. Remember the Bereans who carefully sought the scriptures to prove everything that was said. We ought to do that, especially in this day and age when there's a lot of deceivers out there. And so we have some things that are unspeakable, and Deuteronomy 29:29 addresses them. Look also at verse 6 of this chapter, and notice what it says there. The sea and the things which are in heaven, and that there should be time no longer. Now again, there's people that take this out of context. Basically what that means is, hey, time's up. God's not changing the time frame. God's not using some omnipotent character that he stands outside of time and now he moves time along. God's just saying, hey, time is up. Okay, and so not reading more into the scriptures than is actually there is something you got to be careful of, especially in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so that's another misleading teaching. And so notice again, we have verse 7 then that references this idea that the seventh angel is about to sound. And when the seven angel sounds, again, the next thing that happens is the seven vials of the wrath of God. So we've got to the point where all the seals are open. The book has not been opened yet. There's instead been seven trumpets that sounded out that, hey, these are some of the things that's going to happen when he takes possession of the earth and this earth goes into judgment. I think it was Dr. McGee, went through and covered the fact that the whole 1,000-year tribulation period is judgment. And we've heard the teaching in the kingdom age that if someone sins, they're immediately accountable for their sin and they're punished for their sin. And so the whole time of the millennial reign of Christ is a time of judgment, and it begins with a time of judgment of this world. Now stop right here and remember the disciples who said, should we call fire down from heaven and consume these Samaritans And Jesus said, hey, ye know not what spirit ye are of. And so we can get that way and ask for judgment from God. We can put together our own peccatory psalms, as they're called, where we ask God to destroy a people. That is not for us. That is not in this dispensation of grace. Instead, we're to pray that people get saved. We're to pray that God opens their eyes and they can see. We live in an age of grace and we're to be ministers of reconciliation. Now let's look at this little book in the last couple minutes we have in this chapter. And understand, here's a little book. It's going to be sweet in your mouth and it's going to be bitter in your belly. And so I want to look at that again, even through the eyes of Ironside, who's given it, and even through the eyes of Dr. Feldman, and again say that we are to consume, we are to eat the Word of God. Let's go ahead and look first at a couple verses. Some of you won't have to turn there because you've already memorized them. Write them on a 3x5 card. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written in therein, and then shall thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. 1 Timothy 4:13. Well, there's a reason why I put that in my outline back on my desk, because I haven't memorized it. But look with me at 1 Timothy 4:13, underline it at least in your Bible. And he's given instruction to young Timothy there. And he says this in 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Wow, that's a good verse, but that's not the one I'm looking for. Verse 13. Yeah, that's much shorter. Look at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Till I come, give attendance to reading. That says to exhortation and to doctrine. Now listen, we ought to be readers. We ought to be reading God's Word. I praise the Lord, when I first got here, we emphasized just that we need to be able to read our Bible through from beginning to end. And many have done that many a time since then. But again, we need to be readers of God's Word. We need to be students. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to divide the thoughts and intents of the heart, out of Hebrews. And so again, understand that... I think that was out of Hebrews. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me just read you a chapter, if I could, out of Dr. Fielder's book. This is chapter 1, section 1. A closer look at the scriptures will reveal that memorizing scripture is more than just a good idea. Directly or indirectly, we are mandated many times to memorize the words of our Bible. And there are many extremely important and profitable reasons for doing so. Consider just a few examples. 1 Joshua 1:8 that I just gave you. Job 22:22. Interesting. Job, who was around before the written word, as near as we could tell, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. Psalms 1:2 that I just quoted for you. Psalms 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Psalms 40 and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Listen to this verse in Jeremiah. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Colossians 3:16 that we've known. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Chapter 1 of Dr. Feldman's book there covers again the fact that we ought to hide God's word in our heart. That's equivalent to eating God's word. Look over in Ezekiel chapter 2. There's nothing new given in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything, every picture, every portrayal, every symbol that's given there has already shown up elsewhere in the Bible. So let's look at Ezekiel in chapter 2, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And just look at a few verses with me here out of chapter 2 and chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 8 says, "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." Chapter 3. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll. And go and speak unto the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, "Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee." Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, "Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." Look at verse 22 of that same chapter. Scofield's divided this into a separate book. But again, notice that verse 22 of chapter 3 says, "And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee." God talked to Ezekiel. God gave him his words, and he told him to eat them up. Turn back to Revelation chapter 10 and notice the reference here. The voice which I heard, verse 8 says, "The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel that standeth upon the sea and upon the earth." I'm presuming here again, it doesn't really say, it isn't clarified, but the title book that was sealed hasn't been opened yet. And so this little book is opened. And so it's kind of amazing that he's got this title book with seven seals, and he calls this a little book, okay? And so we got 66 books in the Bible, and here if this references it's actually talking about the Word of God. It is a little book. When he's talking to Ezekiel, he's talking about the Word of God. When he's talking to Jeremiah, he's telling him to eat the Word of God. And so we're going to presume that it's talking about eating up the Word of God. And notice what it says there. We got this angel standing with one foot on the sea and one feet on the earth, and he says, "Go and take the little book." And I went unto the angel, verse 9, and said unto him, I don't know, if it was me, I'd have said, "Would you please give me that little book?" But he didn't. He said, "Give me the book. Give me the little book." And he said unto me, "Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter." Now, what's this about your belly being bitter? Again, understand that there's things in this book that would make us bitter, that would be bitter in our stomach. Not that we have an attitude of bitterness, but again, that it doesn't set well with us. that again, it doesn't jive with what we're doing. This book is a book of judgment, and this book reads you, and it tells you what's wrong. Paul calls it a mirror that we look into so we can see how bad we are. And so again, when we look into this book, understand that it's great, it's sweet to read this book, and it is. But there are things in this book that hits pretty close to home, and it doesn't settle well in our stomach. Not only that, there are things in this book that doesn't settle well, especially for a preacher to preach to his folks. There's things that hurt again, and again hit pretty close to home in our life. And it's bitter in our stomach. It's things, again, that rebellion against God, rebellion against His command, is bitterness in our heart. And so, again, we can be bitter against the Word of God, but we dare not. But understand that's probably the picture that's here that's bitter in our stomach. Understand also under the first, second, third, fourth, fifth seal, when he opened the fifth seal, there were the martyred souls of men that were killed during the first half, 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And again, they said, how long before vengeance is taken? And they're seeking after vengeance. Understand that there is a bitter report coming in this world. And when we witness to others, because we know the terror of the Lord, understand the bitterness that's in that terror. That again, there is coming a judgment, and that people are going to again spend time in eternity of torment. Because they reject the only begotten Son of God. And listen, right now it's a wholesale rejection in the United States of America for the rejection of the Word of God. As far as Him being our Creator, they reject that. As far as Him creating male and female, created He them, they reject there. As far as sodomy being a gross sin and abomination against God, they reject that. And so you can go on down the line about law and order and everything, that our nation is in rejection of God and everything He says in His book. And so again, when we try to conform to our government, understand the things that they're doing right now as far as mandates of this and mandates of that. Understand again, that's coming from a leftist, God-hating, devil-influenced arm of our society, of our government. That I just want you to be careful of those things. Again, to understand that we're in a world, we're losing this battle, this world is turning fast, and there is a bitterness coming against this world. Old Chucky Schubert's going to answer again. And so there's going to be an answer, there's going to be a judgment. They're going to appear before God. And listen, rather than bring joy to us, we ought to understand that it ought to bring a tear to our eye to understand again the hatred and rebellion this world has for God. And He's got my Lord and my Savior, and He can save them. Take it up and eat up the, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I want to encourage you again to take up the book and read it. I think probably here in this portion, even in Ezekiel that we looked at in Jeremiah, it's looking primarily at prophecy, at what's going to happen in the future. And it's bitter. Bill come in, and we was just reviewing a little bit of what the Catholics taught and what the Catholics believe. And they believe that the church, the Roman church, is going to convert this world. And it's going to get better and better and better until they rule and reign for Christ in this world. That's what Roman doctrine is. Pay attention, that's what those box elders around here believe too. That's what Presbyterians teach and believe. That's the core of their doctrine with their teachings is, again, that this world's going to get better. They don't believe in the second coming of Christ, coming in judgment. They don't believe any of that. And so, again, they're switching from that now because they're suddenly realizing, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. This world is not getting better and better. As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be in the second coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes, shall He find faith on the earth? All those things that are written in the Word of God are just suddenly coming to light to them, and they're not understanding anything about the last days. And they got questions right now as we see, again, even our own nation turning against God in a wholesale manner. And so now when we look at this, again, understand that we ought to now more than ever eat this book up and just spend our time in this book. I'd ask the embarrassing question one more time. Do you spend more time reading your Bible or watching television. Hurts, boy, to watch that. Do you spend more time in your Bible than you spend watching football games? Let's be careful now. Let's not get too close to home. Listen, we need to be students of the Word of God. We need, again, to be reading God's Word. There's nothing worth... Someone famous said this, and it wasn't me. There is something worse than a person who cannot read. And that's a person who can read, but does not. And so, again, when we understand that, hey, we've been given the command to study. We've been given the command to read. We've been given the command to memorize. Let's go ahead and take advantage of that. Next week, again, we're going to have these 3x5 cards. I want you to keep them, carry them with you. Have five verses. Remember when Brother Bennett went through a bunch of memory verses and said, here, you should memorize all these. I still got my 3x5 cards here someplace with all of Brother Bennett's verses on that he gave so that we'd memorize. So we're going to do the same thing again. Memory cards again here all the way back from Brother Bennett gave us all these verses to memorize. We're going to do the same thing again, only this time I want you to have two cards. One card with five verses on that you already know, and one card again for five verses that you want to know. I don't know, but Brother Fielder might come in with a list of five verses that he'd recommend for you. He does in the book. But again, verses that you'd want to know, or verses that you could use and it would help you. And so I encourage you again to think about that, look about that, and we'll talk about it again on Wednesday night. But boy, let's be hiding God. Let's eat it up. Let's put God's Word in our heart. And that's promised to be a blessing from God. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you again, Father, for your Word. And Father, what we look at here to understand, we don't know everything. But we know all that you want us to know. We know all that you've revealed to us. And I pray again that you'd help us to be students of that, to read your Word daily as family altar and together personally, to read your Word and to study it and to just glean the truths from this book. And then also, Father, that you'd help us to hide it in our hearts. We'll praise you and thank you for your blessing on our efforts to do that. And Father, your blessing on our upcoming revival services starting next week. We thank you, we love you, praise you that we could worship you today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Let's stand. Let's just have a verse of invitation. If you're all prayed up, then let's pray for our revivals coming next week. And Brother Fielder, as he comes into town. And... as music plays, let's have an invitation where we eat up a little bit of God's Word and practice a little bit of what we just heard. If you have a song book, let's pick it up. Turn to page 500. Let's sing a verse of that. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. We'll dismiss with that verse. 500 in your hymnals. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransom par, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. Lord bless you for worshiping today. Let's step into our week with His name on our lips and the joy of His salvation in our step. Lord bless you today.